Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to have a fun time today. Things are changing around the world that we're not on our prophecy bingo card. So we're going to look at some of those in the Bible and see where it's from. We're going to continue where we left off last week, if we can remember where it was. JD, do you remember where we were last week?
I can honestly say no. I do not remember, but I'll tell you this, anything, if we do repeat something, it's because the Lord wanted us to, and it's important, and we'll just go with that.
Yeah, I use that one all the time, because not only does it relieve me of any liability, but it's actually true.
Yes,
because I just say, okay, Father, just lead me where you want to go.
Right.
Cool. So, Father, we just ask that you help us today to remember and speak what you would have us to speak and reach whom those you would have us to reach are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, we were definitely in the lineage of Cain. I just don't remember what part.
I don't either, but I'm going to put this up real quick for you, David, for everybody out there anyway, the Genesis chapter 4, 17 through 24.
You want to read it?
Sure, be glad to. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahulielah, and Mahujalal begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. How'd you like that? I got through it some kind of way. I don't know how.
Anyway, hey, you're not bad.
All right, then verse 19. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. And we did talk about that pretty much in depth last week. But I don't know if you want to do it or not, but there it is.
Yep, there it is. Yeah, we talked about the sentence. I do remember that, too. So, basically, all of this stuff led up to the giants. We always see two different lineages, okay, and through everything, and how even God will kind of mix them, because we have the Abraham, right, and Isaac, and Abraham had the two sons, right, Ishmael and Isaac. Okay, and then there was Isaac had Jacob and Esau. So again, it's the same picture, the two lineages. And then we see them all down through history, even again and again and again and again. And those are basically types of the first Adam and the last Adam. Okay, it's all pictures again, because the first Adam kind of messed everything up. He was supposed to be the one who would inherit everything, but it was the second Adam, or the last Adam, that actually did get the inheritance. So it's just that whole picture over and over and over again. And we'll get into some of that as we go, but that's the basic outline, and everything is just a microcosm of that. It's pretty interesting.
Amen.
Let's go to part five that we're on. I think we talked about definitely the Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. We talked about them, and now the innovations aren't inherently evil, but the fact that we were relying on our own, abilities and our own creativity to be successful and to live our lives and do whatever, basically glorifying human achievement without God. And that's okay,
let me make sure. Let me make sure I'm on the same page here. Is this the correct one, or is it the next one?
Yeah, well, that's four, and that's what I'm just going to polish up on that, and then we'll jump right into five, which is pre-flood prototype.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So, buttoning up the things aren't inherently evil. That they aren't, because you know, even Satan comes up to Eve and he says, "Oh, don't you want to be like God?" And she said, "Well, she already was like God." Created in his image and after his likeness. And then Adam, the same thing, in his image and after his likeness. Mm-hmm. So those things, the things aren't bad. It's the fact that you rely on those things. And that's what Romans chapter 1 talks about. Mm-hmm. He says you love the creature rather than the creator who made all those things. Mm-hmm. And that this whole narrative brings us right back to the same old story, where we're going to talk about in a minute about the it leading up to the flood. Is why did it lead up to the flood? And now we're in the end of the age, and it's the same old story from back then. You can be like God, and you don't need anything. So now we have evolution, because no one created you. You're just inherently wonderful. And so had, and then removing God from the equation. Oh, okay. So I guess my entire cellular structure just happened by accident. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But that's the narrative that we have today, is glorifying human achievement.
Yeah, and that's coming up a lot, David. I'm seeing it more and more all the time now, you know, where science is coming up with different things. You know, we're going to eliminate this and eliminate that by, you know, reworking basically your DNA. You know, that's really what it comes down to in the end. At least that's how I see it.
Yep. And we can pretty much, you know, we put a chip in you, and then whatever you need, you just be able to download it. And it'll repair all your cells. But the problem is they got to put in the third strand of DNA. And then with their CRISPR technology, going to mess with everything. But here comes the problem. You're trying to do all this, and then you're creating something that isn't human.
Yeah.
So if it's not human, then what does that mean about the contract?
It means that you're unsalvageable at that point. You blew your salvation, right?
Exactly. That's 100% right, because we have the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. So let's back that up a little bit. Adam, man, that's what means man, like mankind. You know, Adam, Adam was Adam and Eve, male and female, because he said, "We made Adam male and female." So that means everybody. So stop it. The mankind was the inheritor of all the creation, the time-space matrix that we live in, which would include the whole universe, actually, because he made it for us to live in. He made the stars for to fine-tune and balance everything on planet Earth. We don't really even think about that. The whole reason all those stars are in the positions they are, for whatever reason, is which is beyond our imagination, is simply to balance, micro-tune this atmosphere that we live in, basically. And because if anything was off out there, life would not be able to happen on Earth.
Right.
And it's just incredible the amount of things that have to be extremely fine-tuned all throughout the universe.
I want to back up for just one second with the DNA deal. Because something that I heard the other day, I think it was a couple of days ago, the prisoner in Russia, Trump sent over somebody. It wasn't the Secretary of State, but somebody, and they were able to get him released. And he came back to the United States, and Trump had him come to the White House, and they had a deal there. And he said that he had been injected over 400 times against his will in Russia. And I want to I just want to get your input on this, because I think I know the answer, but I want to get it through, clear it through you, or you know, where it's clear for everybody else, I guess, that this could not possibly be a mark that would in any way prevent him from salvation, because this was given to him against his will. In other words, you have to accept a mark. And, you know, we're not even into the tribulation yet, but I know that some people are going to be saying, well, you know, maybe his DNA was changed. And I'm saying it couldn't have been, because God wouldn't have allowed that. Am I right, wrong, or whatever?
Yeah, that is correct. The reason, now, where is the mark going to be?
On the right hand or the forehead, yes.
All right. Do you know what those mean?
No, not really. I mean, no. Okay. I'm just going to say no for this purpose. Go ahead.
Okay. Both of them symbolize your will. When it talks about, hey, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, it's because mm-hmm. of his will. And it's also in your forehead, because that's where you're thinking and making your decisions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's not just one will. It's both. Right hand, forehead. Okay. So it means you have to 100%. And then there's all talk of, you know, those who have the mark of the beast. Well, there's always also the mark of those who are saved. You know, when the creatures come out of the abyss, they had the ability to harm those who didn't have the mark of God on their forehead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And we always think of these things in our limited mind. Oh, the mark of this.
Right, right.
But there's marks in the spirit.
Okay.
Where it literally, if you're saved, it literally cannot mark you. Okay. No matter how much they try. So they can inject you all they want. Mm-hmm. There is something that will stop it.
Okay.
So if you truly love Jesus and you have received his contract, it's a blood contract, which says no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it means then. Mm-hmm. So you just say, okay, thank you, Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Mm-hmm. And we think sometimes it's guns or, you know, cutting your head off or stuff like that. But it's all in the spirit world, because mm-hmm. The contract is ours. We own this contract, okay? Mm-hmm. The final culmination of this contract has yet to be seen. There's the consummation, like when you consummate a wedding. Mm-hmm. And a marriage, mm-hmm. okay, that is the, okay, here it is. Here's your promise of the marriage, mm-hmm. and we get ready, but then there's that one moment in time when, okay, now it's
right.
fulfilled.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we are right now. We're in that fulfillment time. There's and that's in the stars, too. If you read them, there's a time of abeyance, not obeyance, mm-hmm. abeyance. In other words, okay. This is your right. You mm-hmm. own this, but there will be a time where we have to get everything ready. And then at this point in time over here, that's when it will be fully implemented.
Okay.
But it is yours now. You own it now. And that's where okay. we are with the contract in Christ, is we fully own all these things and we can operate to an extent in the full contract. However, the entire contract, where we will never be sick again, is to come. Where nothing, literally, they can shoot cannons at our head and it will not hurt us.
Yeah.
And though that time will come when it's a full implementation of a contract, but right now it isn't. So nothing can take you out of his hand too. He said, there's no one that can remove you from Jesus' hand. So if right. you're in that and you have that contract with Christ, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what they do. And when you read the language, all of it speaks to the will. These people were that took the mark. They literally, even after all the punishment that they received and the wrath of God, they still cursed God. Mm. Go back and read mm-hmm. Revelation again, and mm-hmm. they did it, and they blamed him for it. Okay,
yeah.
So those people are the ones that they will choose to receive this mark of the beast, if it were. All right, and then they will have something that will be viable on them. So we're thinking in these physical terms all the time, mm-hmm. but it is much more spiritual, which just has a physical manifestation at the end, and we're still trying to figure that out, because, yeah. you know, first we thought it was credit cards and Social Security numbers.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's just a step in that direction, mm-hmm. but
Yeah, it's, computer chips and all that, yep. Right?
Yeah. Even a chip in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they, you know, put that chip in your head against your will, it still won't affect you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because right. It clearly says you have to be
you
have by
to
accept your will.
It. Yeah, you have to
accept
it.
Yeah, you got to accept it.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I just thought I'd get that out of the way real quick and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where we are, and that's what leads to the flood in Genesis, to the moral decline. So we see the same idea, like you said, coming down now through everybody, basically, is all this human achievement. We glorify it, mm-hmm. you know, even though, yeah, like we just had the Super Bowl, right? Like, mm-hmm. And they glorify the achievement. Right. Yeah, that's pretty nice to play a game, but, you know, I like what, you know, the Eagles, right? They won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won. Mm-hmm.
They all say, yeah, this is basically the coach and a lot of the players. This is just a game and we're having fun, but Jesus Christ is Lord. And
I love that. I think that's the first Super Bowl I've ever seen where, you know, the MVP and coaches and all that, they gave praise to Jesus. And you know, and the networks couldn't cut it. That was beautiful. That was just beautiful.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they've tried to in the past, but I think things are changing. So mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a pendulum swing in the other direction, like we'll see over the years, go back and forth,
mm-hmm.
or if this is an indication that, you know, Jesus is on the horizon. Could be either one.
Sure could.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I vote that he comes back, but me we too. Shall see.
Amen. Amen
I just
to that.
Vote.
Here we go.
Oh, man. So, and you know what's cool?
What's
the
that?
Dead can vote in our world.
We had what? I'm sorry?
Will rise again. The dead can vote in our world.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not like the Democrats kind of dead voting, but the dead in Christ will rise again.
Right.
And they'll vote for his return too, because they're all waiting just as we are. They don't mm-hmm. have, they don't have their new bodies yet.
Yeah. Those are the ones that are underneath the throne yelling, how long and all that, right?
Or is that different? Those are the tribulation saints, what we
okay.
call.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's actually, let's move in that direction. So a lot of people will say, oh, look, it's, you know, there's saints still here and still there. And again, it goes back to this one faulty thought, is that you think everybody is lumped into one salvation, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
So salvation mm-hmm. is of Jesus, yes. Okay, but there's different resurrections. There was already some people resurrected. Remember right. when Jesus rose from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was a bunch there. And he even at the end, he describes one. And this is the first resurrection. And that doesn't mean chronological order. It means mm-hmm. A type. It's a type of a resurrection. This mm-hmm. is the first kind. This is the second kind. Mm-hmm. And they can happen in different order. And then we see that there will be another one at the end of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see that harvest. And that's why he gives us harvest parables all the time. Because mm-hmm. the first one, you know, there's the wheat harvest. And they celebrate that. And then there's the barley harvest, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's, later on, we'll see the olive harvest and the grape harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in Revelation. The black horse says, you know, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius.
Yeah, explain that, David, because that is mm-hmm. that's important right there, because people don't really understand the significance mm-hmm. of that, I don't think.
Yeah, it's actually incorrectly interpreted quite often as you know, a lot of different things. So let's back up and look at the horse itself. Here's the black horse. Okay, bad news, it's black. We see the white horse came, he tricked everybody into thinking there was a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the red horse came and he brought lots of war. Okay, now this war is gonna cause a lot of things. All right. What war typically back in the old days especially resulted in slavery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. They would take over and they would kill all the leaders and then take the people and make them slaves.
Right.
That leads us to the black horse. The word there, actually, let's look it up.
Yeah, because Israel was taken slave So many times I forgot.
And it's just, it's the slavery. And he had, let me see. Scale Revelation, right? Let me see, where was it?
Yeah, I'll start digging too.
Revelation 5. The black horse, where'd he go? And on earth, he took the book out of the right hand. Okay, there's, here we go, the white horse. It balances, that's what they called it in the King James. Or scales elsewhere. So it's Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And it says a pair of balances. Now, why does it say that? You know me. Let's see if that's what it really says.
Okay.
So the word in the Greek is actually zugos. Can you say zugos?
Can I say what?
Zugos.
Zugos? I think I can do that one.
Okay. Okay. So the root word of zugos is zugnumi.
I can't say that one.
To join.
Okay.
Okay. And especially by a yoke, a coupling, servitude, a law or obligation, literally a beam in a balance as a connecting scales. Every other place in the New Testament where this word is used, it's a yoke.
Okay.
So why all of a sudden did they say it's a pair of balances? And I'll tell you, I'll give you my thought as to why and then the error that's involved. Because they're trying to weigh it out. They're weighing out the wheat. Oh, a quart of wheat for a day's wage. And they're weighing it.
Yeah, well, I was thinking scales.
You're weighing it against what? A day's wage? No. It doesn't work that way. It's not a pair of balances. It's not scales. Okay? It's like every other spot. Matthew 11, 29, and 30. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In Acts 15, he says, why do you tempt God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which your fathers weren't able to bear? And again, Galatians 5, 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And in 1 Timothy 6, 1 says, let as many as are servants under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not, you know.
So that's your problems? I'm trying to get this down into
It says in Revelation, it says the black horse is holding balances.
Okay.
But everywhere else that same word is used, it's used as a yoke.
Okay. Which is,
in other words, these people are slaves.
Yeah, okay.
And they got a yoke on their neck.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
And the yoke, it was also, the same yoke was used for the bulls. When he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, that literally means it fits well. Because if you have a yoke that doesn't fit well on the oxen, well, it hurts them and then they don't move and then they're very unproductive.
Right.
So he says, my yoke fits well and is easy. So that's what it means. But let's go back to Revelation where it says, you know, my yoke is easy. The pair of balances in his hand. That's not what I see. It says, behold, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a yoke in his hand. That makes more sense to me. Because I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that they hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, they just didn't know what it was. It basically is a denarius and it was a day's wage.
Okay.
So here it was. They're not measuring anything out. All right. It might seem that way, but it's a measure of wheat for a penny. In other words, he's putting a yoke of slavery on these people and say, you can get one meal
out of everything
as a slave for working for me all day.
That's what's coming. Okay? Gotcha.
That's what's coming. So that's the wheat harvest. And then he says, in three measures of barley for a penny. Why is that? Because barley was garbage. that, you know, so that's why they had three of them for, but you get a day's wage and you want to feed garbage because you got a couple of kids. Mm-hmm. You can get wheat, which is a man's meal, but then you can get the barley, which is, you know, it's junky, but at least you can feed your family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. Yeah. But it says, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.
Yeah.
And then always say, and then I've heard this, I don't know how many times. Oh, that's the rich people. You know, the oil and the wine. They have the oil. And it's like, where does it say rich people in?
Yeah.
You know, so you got all these different things on there. Mm-hmm. But look at the whole passage. Wheat, barley, oil is the olives, and then wine is the grapes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what we're going to see next. Later on, we're going to see in chapter, I think, 11, where the two witnesses or the olive branches mm-hmm. are going to come. And then we're going to see the grapes of wrath poured out later on. Mm-hmm. That's why he says don't hurt the oil and the wine. It doesn't mean don't hurt them. Mm-hmm. It means they're not ready yet.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, in other
words,
sense.
This is here's first harvest and a second harvest, but the third and the fourth aren't here yet.
Right.
We're going to see them later with the olive branches and the grapes of wrath being poured out. Those harvests are to come. Okay. So, yeah, it's a completely different, actually, interpretation of what it actually means. And that's much more clear. He puts a yoke on the people. They got to work all day just to eat for themselves. Mm-hmm. And if they want to feed their family, they got to buy garbage because they're slaves. And mm-hmm. but the oil and the wine is coming later. That's more stuff to come down the road. Don't mess with that yet.
Yeah.
That's the next two harvests that are coming.
Gotcha.
So that's what I see in the black horse. That's interesting, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
So to polish it off, we got to get out of this half. You have a contract with Jesus, but that contract involves a human, okay? A man, when Jesus became a man. So if you are not a man, Jesus did not die for you. So therefore, you have to go into the lake of fire. That's why when you take the mark of the beast, it's literally saying, I want to be something different. So so this Jesus fella doesn't tell me what to do. There's a problem with that. You know, he made everything and now you can't have any of it. So our encouragement to you is, yes, don't take the mark. Receive the mark of God on your forehead. Receive his contract. Okay, and repent of your old contract. And Lord willing, we'll see you in the second half of the show. Bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Hey, everybody. We're back. No rapture yet, JD, but nope. We'll keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
So every day. We were talking about the black horse and the yoke and mm-hmm. how that's a little bit different. And that kind of was a little bit of an offshoot of what we were talking about mm-hmm. with the lineage of Cain. So let's jump on back there.
Okay.
So this lineage is basically what we call a prototype pre-flood of corruption. And the moral decline in Cain's lineage foreshadows the wickedness that will lead to a flood in Genesis 6. And Cain's city-building efforts symbolize humanity's desire to establish security apart from God, culminating in later civilizations like Babel in Genesis 11. And Lamech's vengeful spirit mirrors the increasing violence that characterizes the Nephilim era in Genesis 6, 11 to 13. There's a lot more about the Nephilim elsewhere, but let's dig into these for a little bit.
Okay.
This should be fun. This leads up to the wickedness because they were, basically not looking for God for everything. In Genesis 6:11, where is this? Let me see. There are giants in the land, and those actually 6:1 came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Mm-hmm. All right. There's a little bit more that led up to this. This was in the time of Lamech. No.
Noah.
Yeah. Enoch's father. Jared.
That's Jared, it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like not the subway guy, but although he did something similar.
He did.
So in the days of Jared is when the Simjaza and all those other demons came down. They were fallen angels. They weren't demons. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there was Enoch lists. He says there was 200 of them. And they were in cahoots, and they're like, well, if we go down and take them, then God's going to be mad at us. And and then one of them is like, well, if I do that, you guys are going to all blame me for it. So let's make a pact together. So they all got together, and they made a pact that whoever gets caught, they're all going to take the blame. So that was the end of that. And that's interesting because you're like, okay. Where did that come from? And why was Satan at the beginning was fallen and did this? And then these guys came down later. Were they offspring of Satan? Was this?
Yeah.
Because they were the watchers. So yeah, did they fall later on?
I never understood that, David. Maybe you've got some insight on that because, why that's follow him? I don't get it. I don't understand why angels, I mean, they're in heaven, right? And, they're they got everything in them they'd ever want or ever need right. or whatever, and now they're going to follow Satan, who already I don't get it.
Yeah, and it's weird. So some people surmise that as his lineage led up to this, and basically people took their eyes off of God. Mm-hmm. So was this Simjaza and all those people? Was that actually Satan himself? No, because mm-hmm. they were watchers. It says mm-hmm. so. They were put on the earth in order to show men how to live and how everything worked. Mm-hmm. They were watchers and to be protectors of them, kind of like a secret service. Yet they decided that they were going to steal the women and rape them and then have their own kids. Yeah. And that's in Enoch chapter 15. He talks about that. He says they had their own place and they came out of their place to come into your place.
Yeah.
Enoch says, yeah. No. Because Enoch was sent to talk to him. Like, can you go talk to God for us? And he's like, all right. I don't know if it's going to work. He says, yeah, they're supposed to intercede on your behalf, Noah, or Enoch. They're supposed to intercede. You're not supposed to intercede for them. Mm-hmm. And this is why. Because men was given wives in order for them to have posterity. But angels are in heaven and they don't need a posterity, so they weren't given wives. Mm-hmm. So the angels left and said, well, we want a wife. Mm. And it's like, well, that's not what God planned. So that's the disconnect there. And that's why it didn't work. So is that a bad thing for them to want a wife? Well, not necessarily, but doing something that God didn't design them to do was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And then the wickedness and the evil came after it when they got mad and they say, well, we got nothing to lose. Let's start just beating people up. It's really where we're at.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you know, I'm looking at this pre-flood prototype thing here, and it says Cain's city efforts symbolize humanity's desire to establish security apart from God. And I think that's pretty much the way it is today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same because we have the same mentality where the demons... But now it's these fallen watchers, what we know as fallen angels, are different than the demons. Demons are specifically the spirits of the Nephilim, which are half human and half angel, because they got an angel father and a human mother. Right. And that's just the way it is. And the demons were called the evil spirits on the earth. That's who the Nephilim are. So here we are. The Nephilim, they're growing all over the place. They got tons of kids. They get corrupt. Apparently, three different races of them, and they started eating each other, and they ran out of those to eat, so they started eating mankind, and it just got really bad. And you can read that in other books as well. It touched on here, the heart of man was continually evil. It's kind of what he meant, but you're supposed to know the whole story. But suffice it to say, just the bullet points are here in the Bible. And since that's why God had to flood the earth, because they were literally destroying the earth. But Noah was perfect in his genealogy, is really what it says. He was perfect in his generations. Not that he was a perfect man, but in his genes, generations of genes.
Yeah, the DNA.
His DNA was uncorrupted. So, and it doesn't mean no one else was, but it means his was, and he sought after the Lord. So he says, I'm going to start this all over again with Noah, his wife, and his sons and his sons' wives.
So
and
were they also 100% DNA? I mean, I'm assuming they were, or they wouldn't have been on the boat, right?
Exactly. Now, there's some false notions going out there that maybe one of the wives slipped in with some DNA of a Nephilim, and that this cannot be the case. They were huge, right? So you're not going to see a regular-sized guy marry a 20-foot woman. It's just, you know.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Doesn't work that way. So that's impossible. But it said when he says, you know, in... And even afterward, the giants in the land in those days and even afterwards, that would happen in Jubilees chapter 8, where one of the offspring of Noah, one of his grandsons, actually found the writings of the Nephilim and started doing incantations again and allowed these spirits back into them. When you're doing incantations or any of that crap, you know, soul searching or grave soaking or any of that nonsense.
Right.
You're actually opening up your body for other spirits to come in. And that's what happened. That's what he means. That's why they were there afterwards. Because Nimrod became a Gibberim. We talked about that. And that, And it even says here in Genesis 6:4, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old.
Right. Became.
Because the incantations you can become. So some of them weren't that to begin with.
Right.
Okay. Okay. But when in the days afterwards, it says, and also after that, they became Gibberim, or mighty men.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's why we see Goliaths and Og and all the Rephaim and all the people that were in the land, because they tried to inhabit what is now Israel, so the Jews couldn't take it over. Right. So that's when Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, we could take them. We got God on our side. Oh. And the other 10, were chickens and ran away. Yeah, and you don't even know the other 10's names.
They're too big. We can't beat them.
Yeah. Well, and nobody knows their name, but we know Jacob and Caleb.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Or Joshua and Caleb, excuse me. So in this lineage, we can do everything. Now, here we are at the end of the age, the same thing. That's what he says, and it'll happen again. But now our DNA isn't strong enough. We all know that we're weak, especially compared to what they were before the flood. Imagine the size of all those men back then, the size of Noah and his son.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah.
You know? Like a small guy was like 7 feet tall.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we see these strong DNA. They lived 900 years. They were super smart. And look, one guy builds a whole city. You know? And another guy teaches everybody how to play all the different instruments.
Yeah.
So they were incredibly smart.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You know, I can't even play a harmonica correctly. So and so here we go. We're trying to do it again, but there's a problem. Our DNA is not strong enough because these Nephilim spirits are big and they're powerful.
Right.
And they, you know, they're going to take a big body. If you ever seen anyone who's possessed by a demon nowadays, it drives them nuts. They can't handle it. The body can't handle it, and the body wears out. So they have to try and create some form of meat sack for these things to do. So that's why they're experimenting with all this stuff. That's why they're giving us these shots. So let me see if we can create something. Let's get rid of all the weak people so only the strong ones are left. Let's try and create a situation, and we'll tell them they can live for 1,000 years, and we're trying to cure all the sickness, and then they're trying to make them bigger. You know, that rumor has it, when we went over to Iraq, we found a couple giants over there, and we're trying to clone their DNA.
Oh, wow.
And then that wouldn't surprise me if they did that, because that's what they're trying to do, create bodies for them to live in, and for which is what they're stuck in the abyss right now. We can read in Jubilees, I believe, 10, it talks about, hey, we're going to lock up all these spirits. And then Satan's like, can you leave me 10% of them? Because who's going to listen to me? And I was like, ugh, okay. So we only have 10%. These are the lightweights that are out now. Imagine that's the ones that are locked up.
That's
and then
scary.
The 200 million horsemen. In Revelation, and that's not a precise number, 200 million there. That was translated. It literally says 10,000 times 10,000 and twice again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because 10,000 was the largest number in the Greek.
I didn't realize that.
They didn't have a number for a million, billion, and trillion like we do today. They had 10,000, so if you wanted to have more than that, you would say, hey, it's 100 times 10,000. Well, the largest number imaginable times the largest number imaginable at that time, and then double it. That's what it means. 10,000 times 10,000 and double it. Oh. That's how many of these evil spirits are coming out in the form of horsemen.
They
are going to need bodies.
I got no desire to be around for that.
Yeah. You know, fortunately, we will not be here.
Correct.
So that's what they're trying to do now, create bodies for these people. And that's why they're trying to say, oh, well, we need 500 million people on the planet, and then the Earth will be okay. Remember the Georgia Guidestones? That's what it said. We got to cull down the earth to 500 million.
Yeah.
Well, there's close to 8 billion people now. Mm-hmm. So that means you've got to cut 7.5 billion people out. So that's why all this chaos that they're trying to bring, because, mm-hmm. oh, good, only the strong ones will be left and we'll take them over.
Mm-hmm.
So
which is the reason again, they're so pro-trans mm-hmm. trans stuff and all that, because it plays right into Satan's hands.
Absolutely. So what we say here is now the lineage of Cain, it just leads all up to this. Mm-hmm. So we have the same idea, whereas people are just enraged. They're enthralled with all of their own achievements. I could do everything, and they could do it without mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. And it goes into New Age. You're strong. I remember Saturday Night Live. They had that guy with the sweater, you know, and he goes, I'm good enough, mm-hmm. I'm smart enough, mm-hmm. and doggone it, people like me. You know, holy positive affirmations. And, you know, I'm all for speaking positive, but if it comes out of the word of God, that it's positive, not,
right.
Hey, look at me, I'm right. great. No, mm-hmm. you're not, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing. I could do this without God. Mm-hmm. You with me?
I am. Oh, I'm looking forward to. I'm jumping ahead too quick here, but I'm looking forward to this connection to Jesus' teaching on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus encounters Lamech's boast in Matthew 18:21-22, instructing his disciples to forgive 70 times 7, mm-hmm. A reversal of Lamech's vengeance. This contrast emphasizes the difference between the kingdom of man marked by violence and retribution and the kingdom of God marked by mercy and grace. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we see that 70 times 7 again. Mm-hmm. And it also, that echoes throughout Israel's punishment. Because mm-hmm. the, if Israel, like when they were sent away for 70 years and they still didn't change, then they'd have to go through that again.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have mm-hmm. to go 7 times of punishment. So that was 490 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't do it again. So now you're over 2,800 years.
Now, is that all in the, you know, I'm looking back at Kings, you know, in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time there was a good king and then there was like a bunch of bad ones. I mean, you hardly ever right. ran across a good one, but there was a load of bad ones in there. Is that yeah, basically weird, what you're right? talking about?
Yeah, they didn't repent. Well, when they were exiled into Babylon, mm-hmm. they came back and they really didn't change a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they still haven't changed after all these years. I mean, how long have we been doing it? You know,
right?
And he still haven't received the Messiah that he sent, that he promised him 4,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he did that for a reason. You know, he did that to show his mercy and grace and to use the Jewish people to, number one, demonstrate that he has, this is my law, and I have people that are going to demonstrate that,
mm-hmm.
okay? But they're not going to be able to keep it.
Yeah.
Except for that handful, that remnant we always mm-hmm. talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, and then he's like, so that's the bride of the Father, if you would, if in types and patterns. Mm-hmm. And then you have the bride of Christ. Well, he's got to go get a bride for his son, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's what we see next. That was Rebecca. Rebecca was for Isaac. So we see that whole thing coming out. And then that bride isn't really perfect either. So here we are. And then right from the beginning, the church, if you would, became anti-Semites. And it's like, that's your mother. What are you doing? So it's just the ridiculousness all through the ages of how people act. But in his grace and mercy, he still chooses to save. And he still chooses to have his remnant that will follow him.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And that's 70 times 7. You know, and that's so 7 and 10 is a perfect, you know, 10 we know is a, completion of something, and then now you're taking 70 times the 7. it's unending. So it didn't did it mean 490 times? No, it meant that it was the again like with the 10,000 times 10,000 and double that. It's a metaphor for it's 7, right? Because that's what you want. But then it's 70 times 7 again. So 7 times 10 times 7. In other words, it just you never stop.
Yeah,
forgiving with all that fullness in many different ways. So fullness of 7 and the fullness of 10.
God never gives up on you. Till you got until you take your last breath. After that, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about Babel.
Okay.
All right, because that's in here too. This leads up to it, and this after the flood. We talked about where Noah's grandson found the stones, and then we wound up being over here in the land of Shinar. Okay?
Okay.
And we see Nimrod became a Gibeorim. And here we go in chapter 11 of Genesis. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Mark that one down, because we're going to come back to that.
Yeah.
It came to pass as they journeyed east... they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one to another, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. For they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. Now, slime in that day was kind of like the pitch, and they think it was probably like the tar pits.
Yeah, well, in the New King James, it calls it asphalt.
Yeah, so that's what they think, that it was a tar pitch. And that makes a lot of sense, because then they can take that, and they'll put it on there, and it'll harden right up, and it would be super solid.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it said, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heavens, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the whole face of the earth. Now, look at all the things in here. Okay. Let's... the top may reach. And it doesn't really say that. But let's build this whole picture here. And I'll try and build it in the next 5 minutes, because that's okay. All we got. So, number one, they want to do the same thing again. Let us build a city and a tower...
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then make a name, because we don't want to be scattered. Well, what's the first thing that he said? You know, scatter. You know, fulfill the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fulfill the earth and subdue it. He wanted them to scatter.
Right.
But now that no, we're all going to stay together, and we're going to make a name for ourselves. Okay.
All about them.
Well, how are we going to do that? So this tower, okay, we always think of this tower and how tall it was.
Yeah,
okay, and how
growing up, I thought it was because they were trying to build a tower to heaven.
Yeah, and like we think of the towers today. So in one sense, it was. But that wasn't the real reason for it. They found a plain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so this was also translated as castle, okay? Or a flower, believe it or not. Isn't that weird?
Mm.
Okay, so... And it's a migdal, and it's various types. But in the narrative here, it says the reason they thought it was super tall, it says whose top may reach unto the heaven. But that's not what it says. It says whose top is like unto the heavens.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And just imagine seeing yourself, and here you are at the Great Pyramids in Egypt. And what do they mimic? The belt of Orion.
Okay.
This is the tower they were building. They were building a tower, and then on the top of this tower, they were mimicking all of the stars that we see in the Matzeroth.
Okay.
And they were trying to take them and say, this is going to be us. We're just going to take over these stars. And that's what they did. They started saying, oh, that's not God. That's not the strong man in Jesus. That's Hercules. That's our God.
Okay.
So they built all this mirror image, if you would, of the stars. And instead of telling the story of God in their stars that are like unto the heavens, they said, this is our name. This is for us. Because they can't make any of their own new stars, so they try and steal God's stars. Gotcha. We know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lest we be scattered. We don't want to be scattered. So this is our name. This is us. And that's where we get all these legends of astrology. This is where they actually bastardized the Matzarath. The Matzarath tells the story of creation. And here in the Tower of Babel is where they screwed it up and took all the names and said, no, this is about us. And gotcha. It's not.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we need to get back to the original Matzarath and say, what was God trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the cool part. And the Lord said in verse 6, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So even if you don't want to scatter around the city, God will find a way to make you. And even though they try and force you to take this mark and change your DNA, God will find a way to stop them.
Amen. Amen.
So that's not a problem. Now, here's the deal. What happened at Pentecost?
That's when the Holy Spirit came not on people, but actually in them, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what happened with all the languages?
Well, now that one's got me a little bit on the confused side when it comes to languages.
Well, the basics of it is they can all understand each other.
Right, but it doesn't there have to be two people that can understand it for it to count? Or somebody told me that one time. I'm not really sure.
I don't know where they got that from.
Okay.
But here's the deal. They all said the same thing. It's like they came from my hometown. Mm-hmm. I understood them perfectly. That's a complete reversal here. Jesus came down, took back all the stars, okay? Said, no, this is mine. And he reversed Babel.
Yeah.
Because now there the languages were confused. They couldn't understand each other. And here all the confused languages from the nations came together and they could all understand each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I'm going to put this one up on screen real quick before we run out of time, David. Okay. Just the wrap up here with the conclusion that Cain's lineage serves as a foreshadowing of a civilization focused on self-reliance, technological progress, and vengeance, ultimately leading to destruction. It contrasts with Seth's godly line leading to Noah and later Christ. The genealogy hints at a recurring biblical pattern. When humanity rejects God, it may advance materially, but it declines spiritually, leading to judgment. I just wanted to get that in before we ran out of time.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, tell them how to not go to judgment.
All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that yet, say a quick prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I promise to follow you all the rest of the days of my life because I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. He rose again on that third day, just like he said he would. He's ascended to heaven, and he's coming back for his church, every Christian living and dead at the moment that we call the rapture of the church. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, you don't want to miss the boat because you only got one shot. There's only one rapture. Hopefully you'll do that today, and we might be back for the next show. See y'all later. Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.